Golf Smarter number 281, published on May 3, 2011, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.
Play your best golf now with Annika's coach, Pia Nilsson.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Pia.
Yeah, hello, Fred.
It's great to speak to you again. It's been many years since you guys, I guess since your last book came out is the last time you were on the Golf Podcast, the Golf Smarter Podcast.
I know. So it should be about almost 4 years ago.
Yeah. It was late 07, I think is what it was. But the first book was The Game Before the Game. Then you came out with Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, which is what we spoke about last. And now your new book is called Play Your Best Golf Now.
Yeah.
And you partnered again with Lynn Marriott on this book. When you guys, obviously when you're teaching, do you teach as a team as well, or you're both running Vision 54 Golf School as a team?
Well, we do both, but, the golf schools is both of us there doing our golf schools, and when we coach players, at times we work together, and at times we split up. It all depends on how many players need help and what it is they need help with. But I've always felt like four eyes is better than only two, especially when you have the same philosophy behind it.
Well, also, it depends what kind of budget that student has. If they want to get both of you, I would suppose that it's going to be a lot more money to have both of you teaching at one time.
Well, no, we usually, normally it's just one of us, but, if we have extra time or we want, we double up. So that still stays the same.
Oh, all right. Well, and your school being ranked as the number one golf school by Golf Magazine, it's quite an honor. And the two of you being named as the best women teachers in America by Golf Digest, very impressive.
Yeah, it's actually, when you hear it yourself, you say, like, wow, that is like very, very, very fun. It's kind of hard to realize, actually, but, both, for me and for Lynn, I mean, both of us fortunately just absolutely love the game and we love what we're doing, and we want to keep, learning and get better every year.
Yeah, well, and it's an honor to have you on the podcast. And next week for our members-only episode, we're going to spend some time with Lynn. And we'll keep this to 30 minutes today. But with Lynn, because it's a members-only show, it could go up to almost an hour. And we'll just let it run depending on how much time we have. I'm curious, before we get into the guts of the book, how the two of you work with a writer. Do you sit down together with him or it's Ron Sirach? Or do you each take time and then he synthesizes what both of you have said and puts it together? How does that work?
I know. Well, it starts with that, Lynn and I start talking and, discussing, and then we discuss with Ron and our agents, so we actually decide the book and the intention of the book. But then it's Lynn and me, we do drafts of thoughts of chapters and the main things we want to get across. And in our way of writing, we send it to Ron, and he's been just so incredibly wonderful to work with, because he takes it and make it sound better, being a professional writer. And he's also attended our golf school several times, so he can see and hear and experience all the exercises. So he can sometimes put things together in our words better than we can ourselves. So it's in combination of all of that, and then we keep going, back and forth. Sometimes talk, but usually just keep sending, emails back and forth till, we are very happy that the message in the different chapters is exactly what we intended. And Ron has just been so good because, he can add so much of writing and stories and make it easy to read for the reader.
Oh, so he definitely understands your philosophy, and so it's easier for you to continue with the thought, and he gets what you're trying to say.
Yes, and he's said none of us, no egos involved. We just all, you know, teamwork and with the common purpose of making a very useful book and still easy and enjoyable to read.
That makes a lot of sense. That answers my question on how you do it. Obviously, we talked about your credibility to write a book like this because of the rankings that you've received from Golf Magazine, Golf Digest. But I guess that you would best be known, and just to establish the listeners that didn't hear it back in 2007, the last time you were on the show, is you're probably best known as being a longtime instructor for Annika Sörenstam.
Yeah, I mean, it's when I started coaching back in Sweden, she was on the first team that I ever coached, so I couldn't have had a better start to all of that. So that was, you know, fantastic. But, and then it's been really fun because since then, Lynn and I together have helped 5 different major winners.
Wow.
And 3 of them to become number one in the world at one time. So it's a really, really fun journey. But the start with Annika and the other Swedes, it was a very good start for me as a coach, and we had a great journey together.
Putting humility aside for just a moment, having that many number one ranked players in the world, is that luck of the draw, or do you really feel like you've contributed to making them the best player in the world?
Well, I mean,
come on, be honest.
I think it's both. I mean, I do think both Lynn and I have, you know, have a gift for helping people quicker get to excellence through our experience of the game, experience of teaching, experience of peak performance. So I do think we're very efficient at doing that. And then at the same time, you need to get the opportunity with players to make it happen too. So it's both. I mean, I don't think you can make it happen with only one of those two.
Yeah, okay. Well, but congratulations again. That's pretty remarkable. So
yes.
In the new book, Play Your Best Golf Now, you guys talk about the 8 essential playing skills. And I would like to spend time with both of you on breaking those down to kind of tease the book a little bit, but also to read the book, absolutely, but let's talk about that. And I want to start one of the things that I'm glad you talk about it again in this book, because it's really, even though our conversation was 4 years ago, I still use today and I still share it with people. It was so valuable for me, and that's the concept of the thought box and the play box. Although for some reason I was calling it the thought box and the shot box.
Yeah, for us, it doesn't actually matter what you call it. The only important
just do
thing
it.
No, yeah, and the important thing to understand that golf is no different than any performance. You know, if it's tennis, if it's being a singer, if it's being an author, if it's being a surgeon, any kind of peak performance that we want to access is the same for human beings. It has been the same through the history of time. So whatever you want to call that time when you step into a putt or step into a shot, you know, we just call it the play box. But as I said, the word is not important. But what is essential for all of us is to get in a state of being sensory present and like somehow engaged, like in any sport, to the target, or engaged, feeling something in my motion. But it cannot be any cognitive thoughts anymore if you're going to have peak performance. So whatever you want to call that, but it's just for golfers to learn to get in the state that we do in any other performance.
But I want to get into the detail of what exactly it means, because I've seen so many golfers, you know, at my skill level, which is not very high, but so many golfers who don't line up their shot. They don't get behind the ball and line up their shot. They'll line it up standing at the ball. So, and then you see them processing so many different things while they're standing over the ball. And to me, what your thought box, play box did, not only helps you line up your shot and give you a sense of what your target is, but there's so much more to it. Can we break that down some more?
Yeah.
Explain exactly what it means and what it is.
What it means is that anything that we need to think about, which could be, you know, what club to hit, where to aim, all of that things, all of those decision-making things need to be done and completed before you step into the shot. I mean, period. And so, just like you say, you need to get clear. You need to get the information about the decision. And then when you're committing to it and stepping into putting or hitting the shot, you need to be present and just like connected to the target. Because if you have to be over the ball and you're still concerned about alignment or thinking about your swing, it's impossible to be consistently good. And most often players get too tight and tense in the bodies too, standing there too long.
I didn't actually realize that am I wrong in this interpretation, that the thought box almost begins as soon as you start moving to your next shot?
No, I don't want that, Fred. Then you would be exhausted. No, it's very, very important to take a break between shots. But then, you know, as you get close to your next shot, you know, it's, you know, you can start preparing and looking at the yardage and all of that. But it's actually very important, because we see so many that try to, after they hit one shot, they start concentrating on the next one, and they usually don't make it 18 holes because they're mentally exhausted. So it's such an important skill to go on and off in golf. Like, I'm totally on, getting my information for the shot, stepping into the play box, executing, and then take a break, and then do it again. You know, that's what makes this game, you know, fun, but also challenging, because you need the ability to go in and out. If you're a 100-meter sprint, I mean, you don't need to do that.
Right.
But in golf, it's a huge ability to, like I think we mentioned in the Every Shot Must Have a Purpose book, that, you know, go on vacation between shots.
So the thought box almost begins. You've decided which club to pick up. Then you're standing behind the ball. Then you're about ready to make your shot.
Yeah, and actually in the chapter in the new book about decision commitment, we talk a lot about that, because we feel so many golfers today, both on the professional level and on the more recreational level, take way too much time making up their mind and making a decision. You know, they're having a gun, they're stepping off yardages, they're looking at the yardage book, they're asking their friends, you know, they're deciding about from five different shots, and they have gather way too much information, so they have a hard time actually committing to anything. So we spend a lot of time helping golfers get sufficient amount of information to make a decision, but keep it as simple as possible. I mean, and it's for two reasons. One is it's management of energy, because the less energy you need to spend to hit the shot, it's easier to play well for 18 holes. Mm-hmm. And then the second reason is for the survival of our game, pace of play reasons too.
Yeah, absolutely, pace of play. Anything you can do to pick up the pace of play is going to be helpful. We need to just take a moment here to talk about our sponsor, and then I want to come back to the next point in the book. And as of now, your books are not available as audiobooks, but hopefully someday they will, huh?
Yes, absolutely. We get many emails about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and especially from this audience, because this is, you know, the podcast listeners are Audible listeners, and if they're not, they should be, because this episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers, which I'm sure Play Your Best Golf Now will be a New York Times bestseller soon. For Golf Smarter listeners who've yet to give Audible a try, they'd like to give you a free audiobook so you can see for yourself how great the experience of reading an audiobook can be. With this offer, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter and choose any audiobook from their huge library of titles. And I'm just curious, any books that you've read recently, Pia, that you might want to recommend, since it's a good idea for us to recommend a book to check out?
Yeah, I mean, actually, just what we talked about now, the book is called How We Decide by Jonah Lehrer, and it's the latest science about how we make decisions and how great decision makers do it. And I love the book, and it's so perfect with what we talked about, that we know the greatest.
It's a total thought box book, huh?
Yeah, I know, but it just clarifies very well that all great decision makers get some amount of information, but then they trust their gut instinct.
Right. Well, actually, How We Decide by Jonah Lehrer, L-E-H-R-E-R, and is narrated by David Colaci. And it is available right there at audible.com. It's over 9.5 hours long, so it would be a great one to take as your first audiobook for free. And here you have a first-hand recommendation by Pia Nielsen herself. So again, try that audiobook if you'd like, or anything. Just type in golf and look what they have for you. But if you want to get into deeper on how to make a decision and get the most out of your thought box, look that up too. So get the free audiobook of your choice today if you don't have an account already. Again, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. That's A-U-D-I, B as in boy, L-E, audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And Pia, can we move on in your book again, Decide and Commit, or actually Finding Your Balance? I think I would be the next place I'd like to go is point number 3 in your 8 points, 8 essential skills, because balance, in watching the Masters recently, I just loved watching not the swing as much as at the end of the swing, how perfectly erect and their balance was. I know I have an issue after a swing, especially with my driver, I'll fall offline here. But balance is more than just your physical balance, right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, it's balance overall. And also to realize when we play golf, most of the time all of us are somehow off balance. You know, if it is, it could be in the body or it can be more mentally. So it's such a skill to learn to catch ourselves and know it's forever going to be the task when we play golf to manage myself and get back in balance, because, you know, weather or wind can throw me off balance, or if I'm, you know, worried about my swing or have worries from work or you name it. There's so many things that happens that makes us feel a little off balance. So it's almost more the norm, and it's for the players to learn that it's a normal skill that we're going to use most of the rounds to do it. But in the book, we highlight a lot the physical balance, because when actually the three chapters in the row, the balance, tempo, and tension awareness, we call it the BTTs. And the BTT, we think any golfer to check up on, because most of the time when the swings go off, it's because the balance is off, the tempo is off, or I'm creating tension. So balance you want to start with. And balance is like, it's like fresh produce. If we don't practice and nurture our balance, it goes bad. So we think it's such a simple thing that anyone, if you hit balls for 5 minutes before going to play, please hit a few shots with your feet together, hit a few shots on only one leg, hit a few shots closing eyes. You always do things to nurture good balance, because you will be more likely to swing good.
Yeah, and like fresh vegetables, I know it so well, because not only does it go bad, it stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? As does my game many days.
I know. You know, in any sport, athletic movements, you want good balance. But golfers, for some reason, easier get bad balance. Now, I think it is because, you know, the ball is sitting there, we're static, we're thinking too much, many get too much tension in the upper body. So we just found it's everybody talks about it, but very few practice it. But we say if you just add a few minutes of balance practice every time you hit shots, you are going to be happier about the golf game. So it's so simple. It's actually really fun at the Kraft Nabisco now. 2 weeks ago, we've never seen that before, but we realized how many more players we're influencing, because warming up in the morning, there were four players almost next to each other doing balance exercises at warm up before the round in the major, and it was so delightful to see.
Well,
Aimia Sato, Grace Park, Brittany Lindsecum, Sophie Gustafson, and it was very, very fun.
Wow, great list. And so many instructors talk about the PGA, the position grip alignment, to get started, but I really like the concept of bringing the BTT after the PGA. I mean, it's all part of getting ready for your shot, right?
Yeah, Fred, you got it. So all we want is, we just think the list of fundamentals need to be expanded a little bit. That's all we are wanting. Because we, of course, agree with the PGA, and we are, you know, PGA-educated teacher. We just feel it's not sufficient enough to get more golfers to play better.
In the BTT, balance, tempo, tension, tempo is so important. I know that if I'm having issues, I start, hitting bad shots and then consistently hitting bad shots in a round, it's easy to catch myself and say, slow down. I feel like I'm swinging so fast and so hard, and I'm moving so much faster than I normally do when I'm hitting the ball well. What's the best way to remind ourselves and to stay in the proper tempo? And how do we achieve that?
Yeah, and this is the thing, Fred, that is so important, because men are so aware of it, but then they don't know what to do about it. So the first thing is that you or me or anyone, we need to have the sense and awareness what different tempos feel like. So the most simple way to start that, we have anyone start making full swings with 25% of full tempo, 50, 75, and 100. Just can you make swings and actually feel the difference between four very different tempos? And many have never done that, and they don't know what we're talking about. But you cannot manage yourself in a golf course if you haven't first have the awareness what too fast swing tempo is like, what's too slow, and how you would change it. So it's, once again, it's nothing complicated. If you just add 5 minutes of that, 5 minutes balance, 5 minutes of tempo awareness exercises, you will be able to catch yourself on the golf course. And when you feel yourself going too fast, you're going to have an internal sense of, okay, next time I am going to feel like I'm swinging at 75% tempo, and you're actually going to know what that is.
Can you give me an example of an exercise to keep our tempo in check?
Yeah, but exactly. The most simple, like you just said, is that you learn to do the four, 25, 50, 75, and 100, and can you feel the difference? And
right.
Most of the times when we do this, especially with the, more the average golfer, they're in shock that when they drop down to 80 or 75% of full tempo, they suddenly start hitting it so much better. So that's where it starts. It needs to start there. But it also is another thing in the think box, that men need to like take a few deep breaths and make sure that the last 20 steps to the ball is more calm. Have less adrenaline in your body as you step into the play box. Because if you have too much adrenaline running, your swing is going to get too fast no matter what you do.
Right. And then you tend to swing hard as opposed to swing fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And that could be swinging hard, again, creates tension. So we're back to the second T in the BTT, right, is the tension.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
When you're swinging hard, you're swinging tense, your finger, your knuckles are white, the shoulders are up.
Totally messes, and it totally messes up your mechanics.
Right. Oh, man. Excellent. So then when we get to decision and commitment, how different is decision and commitment from the thought box, play box?
What in this new book, actually, we don't talk that much about the think box or thought box, whatever you want to call it, because we've seen so many golfers overdoing it that... So that's why we only talk about the decision commitment. But actually, the only thing that is important before a shot is to gather information for the shot to commit to something. And the second thing, you do something to prepare yourself for a good playback. So it could be to take a deep breath, or it could be to make a practice swing to feel a shot. But we're just simplifying what you need to do before a shot. Because we saw people like going crazy overdoing thinking and planning before a shot, then it's never going to work.
Never.
It's very simple. In the most simple way, how can you get totally clear on the shot you're going to hit? And how can you get totally clear on what you want to be aware of in the play box? And that's all you need to do.
What do you mean that's all you need to do? That's not necessarily so easy.
All you need to do before the shot.
I see. But it's not that simple.
Actually, good golf is simple. Bad golf is really hard.
Oh, no, it's not. I can prove that.
Okay.
It's really simple to be a bad golfer.
It's simple, but it feels hard while you're doing it.
Right. It's hard on you. definitely hard on you. So how much of this, I mean, I a lot of this stuff you definitely can take to the course with you, especially the things covered in the book. It's so much valuable information to take onto the course with you. But how much of it can I use on the driving range, and how do I develop it on the driving range in my practice?
Oh, that's why at the end of each chapter we have listed exercises to do, because all of these eight essential playing skills you can practice, like you said, on the course, but you can very easily do the putting green, chipping green on the range. So that's why we made sure that every chapter finishes with that. And also on our website, we created other, you know, practice products that adds even more practice plans for those that feel I want even more tools to master these skills.
Yeah, I was on your website, Vision 54. And again, the Vision 54 is not an unattainable goal, obviously, but it is a goal. The 54 being, what is that, birdie on every hole, right?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is just, you know, that, you know, we believe, you know, that golfers can shoot 54 or better. We don't know when, but we do think it's possible. So it's just symbolizes that the metaphor that we want to look for possibilities. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean for all of us that we need to shoot 54, but what it does mean, we want every golfer to look at the possibilities and dare to go for that, not putting limits on themselves. So, and you know, it started way back in 1991, my second year as a head coach in Sweden, and it started because I had all these young Swedish players that had a lot of talent, but they were very limiting in their thinking, and they kept telling me, Pia, you know, come on, we can't be that good. You know, winter's so long, or, you know, our green's not very good, so how could we ever be good at putting? And they had all these excuses. So we just put in a new belief, and that was the 54, because most of them had made birdies on every hole at the home course at one time or another. So that's what we challenged them, like, what would it take to make birdies during the same round? And ask the players who wants to go on the journey to go towards that. So it's just a different way of thinking. Instead of faults and fixes, we want to look at possibilities.
Awesome. One of the things that I'd like to recommend for the Golf Smarter audience to check out at your website, Vision 54, is, you know, there's a lot of people who have, you know, newsletters that they send out that are, you know, update of what's going on. But what I like about your newsletters at Vision 54 is you're doing almost daily drills, right? I love, you know, your drills for skills, and you have it right here on your homepage. And they're just tips to keep in mind, to you know, help lower your score through this program.
Yeah, and I mean, it's the core of what we want to do at Vision 54. We want, truly want to help golfers play better on a golf course, and then it's all about what to do. So it needs to land in, you know, inspire all golfers to go out and do things that's going to help them perform better.
As a golfer, I love asking this question. As a golfer, not as an instructor, but as a golfer, what's the best advice you have ever received?
Ah, that's a good one. Well, I mean, actually, this is going to sound really strange, but, you know, when I was kind of perfectionist and trying too hard, and everybody kept saying, you're fine, just trust it. So why it was the best advice ever, because it drove me crazy, because what do you do with that? It was the great advice, because it triggered me to think deeper. Because if someone just get told, just trust what you're doing, you don't know what you're going to do with it. So for me, it was a great, because I had, like, need to do something different, because that sounds good, but it doesn't help anyone. So how do you, but the advice in the bigger meaning, that is to simplify things. I mean, you can make golf so complicated and complex, and it's going to take hundreds of years to learn, but how can we play this game great and still make it more simple, so it's more enjoyable and we actually play better?
So the advice that you received of trust it is not something that you understood at the moment. It was something that you understood over a long period of time.
Yes, exactly.
That's interesting. So you didn't know it was great advice at the time. Actually, you're probably annoyed being told that.
Yeah, exactly. That's like what?
Shut up. Well, the new book, again, is called Play Your Best Golf Now, and it is available on the Golfer's Mart at golfsmarter.com. We do have a long list of books that have been featured on the Golf Smarter podcast. So if you go to our Golfer's Mart and click on the book section, we not only have Play Your Best Golf Now, which has just been released, we also there is a Kindle version that may be out by now, and if not, it will be soon, that you can download it to your Kindle through Amazon. And then the other two books, highly recommend, The Game Before the Game and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, both by all three by Pia Nilsson and Lynn Marriott of Vision 54. And next episode, Lynn is going to come onto the show and we'll continue conversation about this book. I didn't want to have both of you on together. I wanted to separate it, to have different conversations, and I'm really looking forward to speaking with Lynn. But Pia, thank you so much for coming on. Again, it's just a podcast, and you guys are big time, and I really appreciate you sharing the time.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Coming up next, for members only, Pia's partner on the book and at top-ranked Vision 54 Golf Schools, Lynn Marriott, with more of your 8 essential playing skills. To make sure you hear next week's conversation, have access to our two previous episodes with Pia and Lynn, and get a new episode of Golf Smarter every week, join Golf Smarter for members only for only $15 at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.